Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready to head over to the rink for always entertaining night in the United Center. If they're looking for a road trip, fans to go somewhere, come to Chicago because it's an unbelievable city and the building is awesome.
Oh, it rocks. We went there for a road trip a few years ago. You know what? Even the Order fans, and the Orders lost that night. I think they're getting pumped like 3-0 the first 10 minutes, so they're hating the song. But they scored a few goals. Even them said, man, like the atmosphere there was, it's off the charts. It was great. We'll get to that series in a sec, Ray, but I do want to ask you about one player you played with. The year you set the record, 108 goals, had 192 points, ridiculous season. Your defenseman on that team, Cam Plante, had a ridiculous number of 140 points as a blue liner, got drafted by Toronto, only had a very brief NHL career. What did he not have to be an NHL guy? Because when you put up that many points, you're thinking, man, this guy might have got at least a look on the power play.
I was always surprised that Cam didn't get a better look. He was an exceptional passer. I think that year, I want to say he had 118 assists.
Yep, good memory.
Like, it was something. Yeah, I mean, on the power play, I mean, if I would kind of spot up in the high slot, and Cam would work around at the top, and we'd move the puck around, and somehow I'd always get it 20 feet away from the net. I mean, that was kind of a pretty good place to get it. The one thing Cam lacked was foot speed. And while it wasn't at a premium then like it is now, I'm guessing, I mean, he was with Toronto. It's not like Toronto was zipping off 50-win seasons at the time. Or really any time. But I suspect that was the biggest problem that Cam had.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think Plant was that good, because when you got a guy sniping 108, anybody can get 140 assists, can't they?
Well, I don't know. I think Hexy had 15 assists in goal that year. I mean, we would run this play, and this was still when there was a two-line pass, and so I couldn't receive it over the red line like you can now. But
yeah,
if there was a turnover around our net and Cam or Hexy, if he had more time, got it, I would head to the dot and they would airmail something towards the dot. And I thought this was pretty cool that I heard this last week, Teemu Selänne talking about his rookie year and how there was no video. And he said him and Phil Housley had a breakaway play that nobody figured out until April of that year.
Too late.
And it was the same thing in junior. I mean, we could have never done that. After the first 2 weeks, somebody would have said, hey, whenever there's a turnover, why doesn't somebody go stand on the dot? Because that's where the puck's going to go. But nobody knew. We had no video.
Ray, was Hextall's fuse always that short?
Yes. I want to say, and again, I'm just going on memory here, I think he had 100 penalty minutes that year.
117.
And, yeah. So there were a couple of things that I can tell you offhand. We had a brawl with Regina, which was always seemed to be just at arm's length. And one of their players knocked out one of our guys with a cheap hit at the tail end of the first period. And that was when guys used to, you know, all 40 players would circle around it at the start of each period. I was always the last guy out of our room. By the time I got to the ice, there was a full-scale Donnybrook at the start of the second period, and it was because Hexy had suckered the Regina player who had knocked our player out. And he ended up getting 8 games suspension in the brawl. And I never saw, or we never knew why. Again, there was no video. Somebody sent me a video clip, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. So this was 20 years past the brawl. Hexy hit their goaltender, Jeff Reese, with his stick. He would have got 5 years in jail for it today. He got 8 games. And that was one. The other was there was a 5-on-5, and somehow the puck came to us at our end, and Hexy rifled it into the crowd where all the 10 guys were. It could have hit anybody. It hit one of their guys. But his fuse was a millimeter short. And the crazy thing is, when you talk to him now, and I don't mean now, but I mean since he's been retired, he's still got the burning fire. I mean, he's run a couple of marathons, and he runs them for time, you know, like he's trying to be fast. Super competitive, but he's composed, he's thoughtful, I think he's going to do a terrific job as a general manager in Philly. He's going to be the first general manager to not be impulsive in Philadelphia in a long time. Hexie will do, in my opinion, and I've known him for 30 years, I think he's going to do a terrific job there.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, before we get to hockey, I have one other question from some of your coworkers. Parker wants to know, what's the most push-ups you've done in a day via Rashog?
20.
Oh.
And which isn't bad. Yeah. So if you don't know the game, and people don't, so Rashog tries to get you to say the word mine. So, you know, whose phone is this? Mine. That's 10 push-ups. And if you say it again, and then he'll say, whose is it? And you'll repeat it, which is how he got me. I said, mine. And he said, whose? And I said, mine. That's 20. he tries to get people in the most embarrassing places.
Yeah.
And, like, at the finals in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, he got James Duffy on the stairs inside the concourse. So, like, there's 18,000 people there. Duffy's in a suit doing push-ups.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good. Now, is there a penalty if a guy's like, I'm not doing it here, or is he just considered the biggest baby ever?
Biggest baby ever.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be
shamed
that.
And here's the thing. You have to agree to be in the game.
Okay.
So we've all agreed that, yes, okay, we'll play this stupid game, but then it becomes ultra competitive. So now, you know, I'm trying to get Drager, who's trying to get Ward, everybody gets Duffy because he's no good at it. For being the best host in Canada, you'd think the guy would be a little sharper, but he's just not. He's like the Patsy of the game. When you're feeling bad about yourself, get James.
Ray Ferraro Jones. Yeah, there's always one guy. Oh man, I got taken by Rashog today. Oh good, I'll get Duffy back, and now at least I'm even. So
yeah, you just wait for him to come to dinner, and you're like, okay, my salvation is here. It's just a matter of time.
Ray, a salvation, a matter of time. A lot of people think this series is going 7 games. I think the extra day's rest was a huge benefit for the LA Kings coming off back-to-back game 7s. They also, and I can't remember which LA King said it, and I read it where he said, you know what, we might lose game 1, but we find ways to figure out teams and what they're doing. What do you think what can they figure out about Chicago? And do you think there's anything to figure out about Corey Crawford?
I don't think there's anything for either team to figure out about the other. They know each other really well. I mean, they played in the playoffs last year, and they played again this year. Now they've played 4 times. What are you going to learn about Duncan Keith that you don't know? Or what's Chicago going to learn about Drew Doughty that they don't know? You know, like, there's really not a whole lot of specialty stuff that comes as a surprise to the players. What I do think is the biggest factor when you play Los Angeles in a series is their ability to wear you down as the series goes along. And that's where I think Chicago poses the biggest problem to anybody that's going to play them, is that they can morph into whatever you need. You need a big, tough, nasty series. Well, how was St. Louis? I mean, that thing was just short of armed warfare,
yep.
And Chicago won. Then it was a tight checking, really fast series against Minnesota. Chicago won again. Now it's going to be a combination of both, I think, in this series. And I think when you need an easy goal or you need an extra play at the net, Chicago's more likely to get it because they've got more guys that can provide that than Los Angeles. I think it's a 6-game series. I think the games are going to be incredibly tight. And I think Chicago's going to win. How do you solve Corey Crawford? I think there are times he leaves some rebounds there that you can capitalize on, and that's really where LA's going to get their extra goal that they may need in a game. But I got to hand it to Crawford, guys. When I first watched him, and even in a Stanley Cup year, I felt, man, there's some holes in him, and he gets out of position a little bit, but what he does do is he fights. And I think if you watch him a little more closely, like I've tried to do, he stops more pucks with the middle of his body than you would think. It's not like he's making lucky saves off the knob of his stick. It might look awkward, but he gets his body on it. And a perfect example was in game one, the 2-on-1. The game's 1-1. Justin Williams gets the puck to Kyle Clifford. Now, Crawford goes across the net, but he goes head first. I mean, I don't really know why he went head first, but he stopped the puck with the Blackhawk crest. I mean, that puck wasn't going in. He got his full body in front of it. And I think Corey Crawford is a better goaltender than most would like to assume.
Yeah, exactly, Ray. I mean, and you've played against and now watched goaltenders who just don't quit, and you can name them. And as a shooter that you were, they can frustrate you because you think, well, here go the arms in the air, and the guy will come flailing across, never quits on anything. In recent years, I think of Dwayne Roloson here who battles. Crawford is that way. You know, Hasek.
How about Curtis Joseph? Dominic Hasek?
Dominic Hasek, he'd be upside down on his face and kick out a leg and stop a shot. I wonder, because he's unorthodox, if Crawford gets, I don't want to say the respect, but maybe the recognition he deserves, because he's been terrific.
No, he doesn't, and I agree, Robin. It's likely because he doesn't, whatever a number one goaltender is supposed to look like, at times he doesn't. It's like a quarterback who maybe has an unorthodox throwing motion, or he doesn't get the ball down the field as quickly as you'd like, and you go, nah, I'd like him to throw it a little quicker or have a little more zip on his downfield passes. Remember, there was a time when people said that about Tom Brady. They'd probably take Tom Brady on their team now.
Yeah.
You know, and Corey Crawford's won a Stanley Cup. And in that Stanley Cup run, if you remember, there was a time when he had gotten beaten over the glove, I'll say relatively regularly.
Repeatedly.
And it became, oh my gosh, it became this red flag. You know, they can't win a cup. He can't catch the puck. All of a sudden, the narrative became like he had never caught a puck. Well, that quickly sorted itself out. He made whatever adjustment he had to make, or he was a little more aggressive out of the net. And while he may not be the smoothest looking goaltender, he's got a Stanley Cup ring, and he had a big part in it, because he is, in almost every series Chicago played, he's the second best goalie. He certainly was against St. Louis, except he outplayed Ryan Miller. He was the better guy against Minnesota because Minnesota was, you know, had three goalies that played.
Yeah.
But I would say he's probably thought of as the second best guy in this series. Well, he's won as many Stanley Cups as Jonathan Quick.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying, Ray. Like, I wonder, and we talked about it yesterday on my show. I look at his numbers. Lundqvist has a 9.34. He has a 9.33, and everyone's raving about how Lundqvist is off the charts as what he's done this year. But Corey Crawford has seen just as many pucks, and, you know, everything's the same for him. He seems like a guy, for whatever reason, gets no respect because he's got so many superstars in front of him.
Well, I was going to say the reason is Taves, Kane, Hossa, Sharp, Keith, Seabrook. Yeah, there's lots of other narratives here in Chicago.
But, you know,
and in New York. Yeah, but in New York, who else are you going to talk about? You know, Ryan McDonough and Dan Girardi, maybe. But I don't know. Guys, if I had to split hairs here, I would take Henrik Lundqvist. He's one of my favorite goaltenders in the league. I think he's just fantastic. But if you said, no, your goalie's Corey Crawford, I wouldn't be worried about my goaltending position.
Yeah, no, the only reason I ask a raise is because, like, when the New York Islanders were winning, they had a lot of superstars, and Billy Smith got a lot of credit. When the Oilers were winning, they had Gretzky and Curry and Messier and Anderson and Coffey, but Grant Fuhr got a lot of accolades as well. I just kind of find it interesting that Crawford, and maybe it's because his regular season numbers, I'm not sure why he doesn't ever seem to get any of the accolades. As you mentioned, is it because he doesn't look like a superstar goalie?
Well, you're also looking back with retrospect of Billy Smith and Grant Fuhr's career. I mean, there was a time when the Oilers weren't sure who their number one goalie was. You know, was it Fuhr and Moog? And yeah, they got them both. And, you know, Fuhr gives up some goofy goals, but man, he sure makes the save when you need it. Of course, it might be 5-4 at that time, but he makes it. And then the Oilers score two more goals and the game sounds easy. I think in retrospect, Corey Crawford will have a career that people will look upon a lot differently than they do now.
Okay.
His body of work does not stand out because, in my opinion, A, because of the quality of people around him, but B, because of the extra intangibles these people have. You know, you talk about Jonathan Toews, he's as fine a two-way player as there is in the game. You talk about Patrick Kane, he's as electrifying a player as there is in the game. You talk about Marian Hossain, can you pick five players that play 200 feet better than him? He's got 1,000 points, 995 points. And so when people talk about the Blackhawks, you know, Corey Crawford's the seventh or eighth guy you talk about. And I don't think that'll change. I don't think it bugs him. And I think in time, the people would look at Corey Crawford and go, you know what, he's a top 10 NHL goalie.
Yeah, absolutely. Ray, quick glance over at that other series. 2-0 for the Rangers. Do the Habs have any chance without Price?
No. And not in my opinion. That Montreal team looks a lot to me like our team in 93 with the New York Islanders. They beat a hated rival. We beat the Penguins. They beat the Bruins. A rival that everybody felt was the best team in that conference. They did it. You know, we had to scratch and claw and win Game 7 on the road, and that's what they did. And then you get to the next round, and you're a little bit out of gas. Emotionally, you can't quite get to the level on a consistent basis that you had in the previous round. Mm-hmm. And then in New York, we got banged up pretty good in that Pittsburgh series. Now, they didn't get banged up, Montreal, but what they did do was lose their, you know, their most valuable player. And I don't know any team that can recover from that, especially one that relies so heavily on their success on their goalie. And whether it's Peter Budaj or Dustin Tokarski in goal, you know, their goaltending becomes adequate as opposed to spectacular. And I think Montreal needed that in what I thought was a series that was really evenly matched. Mm-hmm. I don't see it quite that way. I still think Montreal is going to win a game or two, but I think this is New York series.
Who do you like in the series you're covering, Ray? Kings or Hawks?
Hawks in six. And the only reason being, I think they're going to be able to play at a higher tempo longer.
Okay.
Than the Kings. The Kings have already played 15 games, you know, and, you know, down 3-0 to San Jose and climb back into it. Down 3-2 to Anaheim, climb back into it. Eventually, depth, size, it does matter, but it doesn't matter. You're gonna wear out a little bit. And the struggle that I think they're going to have is going to be offensively, which does bite them from time to time. But that matchup of Kopitar versus Toews takes on added difficulty for Kopitar because he is a creator and he creates for Gabrick, who's had just a fabulous playoff. The problem is it's not just Toews you're playing against. You're also playing against Marian Hossa. So if Kopitar beats Toews in the offensive zone, now he's got Hossa to deal with, and then he's got the defense pair of either Keith and Seabrook or Hjalmarsson, who is as underrated as anybody,
yep,
and Oduya to face. It's just, I think it's going to be difficult for them to score enough goals to win.
Ray, always good to talk to you. Parker is trying to claim that he got you for 30 push-ups because you said mine 3 times, but I think explaining the rules gives you an out.
It might have. Now, did he have the frosted tips
yeah,
on his hair when he was doing that? Because that would eliminate 10 out of my memory.
That's sneaky. He slides that one in.
I love it, Ray. We'll be watching tonight. Should be a great game, 6 o'clock on TSN.
You guys have a great night. See ya.